Well, greetings to everyone in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. His mercy endureth forever. I just want to ask a little prayer for God to help me this morning. Lord, I just come before you this morning with trembling lips and ask you to help me deliver these thoughts that you have given me to share with the people here this morning. Just help me share it in the way you want it to be shared and not in a fancy way or any such thing. I just want to do your will, Lord, and express these thoughts that you've put in my heart. We just pray, thank you for the visitors that have come today. We just pray that you would bless them today and just help us to, we just want to serve you with all our heart today. And thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to worship today. Thank you for the building the nice setting that we have. Let us never take this for granted. It may not always be this way. We just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been thinking here. God gave me some thoughts, and it would pertain to, if I would title the message, I would call it Biblical Meekness. The Bible talks about meekness. It's something that we all need. And the way the Bible describes meekness, one of the parallels that it uses, it talks a lot about oxen, the yoke of oxen. So I did some research, and an ox yoke is something that you use to connect two oxen together. They pull together as a team, and they can plow the fields and do all kinds of work, and they need to be able to work together. And an interesting fact that I ran across was the fact that an acre of land, what we know as an acre of land, many years ago that was established. An acre of land was established through that's a result of how much land a single oxen could plow in a day's time. That's where our acre of land came from. And oxen were a lot less, they ate a lot less food than horses. They were easier to keep and control and handle. And they were used back when the American frontier was tamed. They were pulling out all the stumps and clearing the land and paving the way for civilization to move westward. There was a story that I ran across. There was an ox pulling contest held up in Canada. And the winning ox of this pulling contest pulled 8,000 pounds. And the runner-up oxen pulled just a little less, 7,800 pounds. And the owners, after the contest, they decided they're going to hook these two oxen together and see what they can pull together. And you would think that it'd probably be 16,000 pounds. But it wasn't. When they hooked them two oxen together, they was able to pull 26,000 pounds. I don't understand that. But I think we can apply that spiritually in our lives. If we pull together, we can pull a lot more than just each one pulling his own weight. And with the oxen, many times they would take an older ox and yoke him with a younger ox. A younger ox would try to act up and just not cooperate. But he soon learned that if he was yoked with the bigger ox, then he had to give in. That's how they trained him. And there's some verses here in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you are yoked with Christ, He does all the heavy lifting and pulling in your life. We tend to be stubborn and prideful people, and we'd like to take things in our own hands and do it our own way, but that's not the way God would like to see it done. And we're either yoked with Christ or we're yoked with Satan. It's one or the other. And I ran across some thoughts here. Unbroken horses are very unpredictable, and they might kick and they might bite. Then they are not worth much at an auction or in any way. Unbroken horses, they're not safe to get close to. They're just, but a well-broken team of horses is very valuable. They can do many things. Then there's another verse I ran across. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I just have some thoughts here. Meekness is not a sign of weakness, but it is a sign of great strength. You cannot obtain meekness until you are broken and empty of yourself. It cannot be part of your life until you have repented and confess your sins. Meekness is not an option for Christians. It is something that we must let Jesus develop in our lives. If you are a true Christian in here today, this must be an evident quality of your life. We must seek for meekness. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, shall wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. A meek person will have less emotional problems and physical problems. Meekness is a good investment. And then interesting, I want to read 1 Peter 3:1-15. It has a good scenario about meekness. The 1 Peter 3:1-15. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye of all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love ye as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm ye, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. A meek person will be manageable and submissive. He'll be in the yoke. And a meek person will have modesty. If you have meekness, you will have a modest heart. And if you have a modest heart, your clothing will reveal it. And there's none of the thought here. Youth, if your parents try to encourage you to do certain things or not to wear this or not to wear that, or don't resist them. Your parents, they know what to, they know they're trying to do what they know is right. So don't resist the parents, and you will, years down the road, you will greatly appreciate what they did for you. And this, I have a little thought of form and content must be in harmony. Like what you look like and what's inside, it all needs to be in harmony. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. God will help you make good choices. And I have a little story that I had heard some time ago. It was about a man that was, he was very impatient. He didn't, apparently, obviously, he didn't have meekness in his heart. He was an angry man. He was always irritable. He had a 5-year-old daughter. And it was a Christmas season, I think, is where this story, but this, as far as I know, this is a true story. And the daughter, the dad, he had, he's always yelling at his daughter, always running out of patience with her, and he was always hollering at her. And he had some Christmas paper wrapping set aside. He was going to wrap some presents for some of his friends at work or something. And he came home from work one evening, and he was went to find his wrapping paper to wrap his present. And the paper was gone. He got really upset. He started hollering through the house, "Where's my paper? Who took my paper? And who? Where's this paper at?" And the little 5-year-old girl started crying. She had taken it, and she told her dad, "Daddy, I took the paper." And he yelled at her, "What'd you do with it? What'd you take? That was mine." And she said, "Daddy, I took it to wrap a present for you." And he felt sort of bad and ashamed himself. And he told her he was sorry. And he went and sat on his rocking chair, and things settled down. And the next evening, the little girl came to him. She had a present. She had a box wrapped up with this paper. And he took this box. He sat down. He was all excited. He was happy. He was smiling. He started opening the box with the paper. And as he opened the box, there was another little box inside the big box. And he started getting irritated again. "Why did you waste all this paper for? This is nonsense. You know, what is the deal here?" So he got down to the little box. The little girl was standing right beside him with tears in her eyes. He opened the little box, and there was nothing in there. So he looked at his daughter, and he got upset. "Why did you waste all this paper for nothing?" She said, "Daddy, I didn't have any money to buy you a present. So I put a bunch of little kisses in that little box for you, and then I wrapped it up." And that broke his heart. And he told her he was sorry. 5 days later, she died in a car accident. And the story goes that the man kept that little box the rest of his days. And every so often he couldn't go anymore, he'd go get a kiss out of the box. And so, let's all have patience with our children. Let's not do something like that.
Like, we face trying times. A meek person can control his anger. And I want to read just one more thing. Psalms 39, 1 through 3. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me, and while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. I think the point is, if we have meekness and allow God to work in our hearts, He will help us control our tongue and our anger. And it would make us better, stronger Christians if we try to seek this avenue. I don't know if I went too fast or if I pray that you got something out of it, but that's about all I have this morning. And I just, I just pray that I can get stronger as time goes on. I can deliver thoughts without falling apart, but just keep praying for me. It's really a blessing to be in a setting. I really much appreciate this congregation. I've learned so much since I've been here, but we're never going to learn it all. And we just never get the idea that we're there, that I've got it figured out. I know what the Bible says, that we need to keep on going on to perfection. And help other people become teachers. And there's many, many lost souls all around us, and we got a lot of work to do. God bless you, and thank you for your time.